Did you come up with that one? Yes, indeed. Welcome in, friends, to this, the 60th edition of Fusebox Night Soil, man. And I'm your safely enriched by organic matter host, Mark Rose. Just pleased as punch to be back to, well, normal for us anyway, after last week's rather solitary adventure, I guess you could say.
Oh, you did fine, man.
Oh, and that over there, and welcome back, is the voice of technical director extraordinaire.
Did I get a promotion?
Why, yes, why not? TD par excellence, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Milt Keynes. Missed you, buddy. I mean, it was really kind of lonely in here last time.
Oh, I had freaking cabin fever with a capital K, man.
Yeah, I can. Well, you know, for those out there who may not have joined us on the last program, and how dare you, Portland, out here, Portland, Oregon, here, we got hit with a snow dumping that basically rendered the city to a complete and full stop. So as a result, I had to do the program solo last time as Milt and Jeff and...
was up to my ass in ice. I mean, there's no way around, under, or through it, man. You just had to sit there and wait it out. You know, I live on kind of a hill and...
Kind of? No, it's like a 100-degree slope. And then, you know, some crazy sharp turns up there. Yeah, no, it's not for the faint of heart, for sure.
Oh, yeah, there were some folks who were, like, skiing down that sucker on the first or second day. I mean, just crazy. Caught up on some films, though, so that was a plus. Oh, I learned how to stretch vodka.
Yeah, you know what? I think many of us were becoming survival mixologists during that stretch. You know what I'm saying?
Does not work with Ovaltine, though.
Really? I did not know that.
No, causes some kind of weird foaming. Then it gets red hot and burns right through the cup. Or, in my case, the tankard.
Yikes. Note to self. Well, sure glad to have you back in the saddle there. And hopefully we... shan't be disturbed by weather anomalies such as that, at least until next year. Well, of course, by then we may be doing this show from a bunker. You never know.
Yep. I just don't trust any of it right now.
You know, perhaps that's the best stance to take at this point in time, because things are looking stinky out there. And speaking of stinky, you may be wondering where the show title comes from.
Yes.
And well, you may. This title comes from a delightful near turn of the century British term for a service provided to certain public gathering places like
bars.
Well, hotels, cafes.
Saloons.
Dancing halls.
Brothels and bars and saloons.
Oh, my. Yes, all of the above. This service was provided by a poor, unfortunate chap whose duty it was, so to speak...
saw what you did there.
...to clean up the day's effluent from these establishments... and cart that aforementioned debris away at night.
Wait, they carted away rich people? I mean, why the hell...
No, not affluent. Effluent.
Oh.
Yeah. Sewage, if you prefer. Yeah, this guy, he must have had a cart, or, you know, they had, like, barrels or some such container that the stuff would go into, and then... well, who the hell knows where it went from there? But one thing is known. He was a very stinky guy. Yes. You knew he was in the area by blocks away, I would guess. But they gave him a nice, almost I don't know, a poetic moniker. They dubbed him the Night Soil Man. And so, children, that's how Uncle Carl got his name.
Where the hell did you find this reference? You weren't watching that British scat porn again, were you?
Yeah. No. Holy carp, no. Listen, no. It was mentioned in why would you even...
Hell, man, I don't know. I mean, where else would a term like that come up, for crying out loud?
It was mentioned in a British series called Ripper Street. And it's on Netflix, that series. And it takes place in, I think it's like the 1880s in London. During the unfortunate time of Jack the Ripper, who I might add, at least at this stage in the series, is only just mentioned. We don't meet him yet. I'm told he becomes more of a central figure in later seasons, which actually brings up another related thing here.
Jack worked as a night soil man?
Well, if he was, he'd be damn easy to catch. No, the other thing related to this show, produced by the BBC, by the way, is a year before this show went up, the British Broadcasting Corporation produced a very similar period piece with very similar characters, notably a chief constable, a doctor, and, of course, the charming and gutsy woman that runs the local brothel. Except this prior series was actually set in New York in 1860, with all the Civil War slavery things coming to a very rambunctious conclusion. It just struck me odd that this series, called Copper, by the way, lasted only two seasons before being yanked. And in the middle of the first season, the same folks, that's right, that would be the BBC, launched Ripper Street. Now, Copper evidently had some great numbers, you know, audience-wise. But Ripper Street got the nod to continue, and from what I can tell, has lasted about five seasons, and up to this point. I don't know if they're going farther, but that's where we are.
It's an inside job.
Yeah.
You know how it works. Some producer makes a deal to do something he or she is not wild about, but it positions them to do what they really want to do.
Yeah.
And then all the perks that follow. So yeah, probably that.
Could very well be. It's a conundrum for sure. I'd say check them both out if you have an interest in that sort of thing. The performances in both shows are quite good, as most of the BBC productions tend to be. And coming up next, a spotlight on film, where I get to ramble a bit about the new documentary on the National Lampoon. We've strapped Senator Bob Fuske to this gigantic slingshot, but it's to prove a point.
No, you just said, you. Ow, you. What are you doing? No.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it.
Spotlight on film. There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume. We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Buenos dias. Señoras y señores.
Oh, hilarious.
Good day, Ladies and gentlemen.
We can make it stupid.
As a young child, I always wanted to be an elocutionist.
Or moronic.
I became a dentist to help people, not to aid in their destruction.
We can even make it repetitive.
As a young child, I always wanted to be an elocutionist.
Or moronic.
I became a dentist to help people, not to aid in their destruction.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want.
Yes, dear friends, I'm not sure how many of you out there remember that classic introduction to the National Lampoon Radio Hour, but that program featured some of the 1970s greatest moments in radio humor, as well as introducing the world to Chevy Chase and Brian Doyle Murray and his brother Bill and Christopher Guest, Ann Beats, Gilda Radner, John Belushi, Harold Ramis, and the list goes on and on and on. The magazine that inspired this radio show is the subject of a documentary by Doug Triola called Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead, and chronicles the rise of National Lampoon and its many spin-offs that greatly influenced comedy's course forward. Now, I for one, was a huge fan of this magazine back in the 1970s, and am happy to say still have all the issues from around 1971 to 1975, when I think, at least, their core of writers were firing on all cylinders. The film details the brainchild of Henry Beard and Doug Kenny, who were the founders of the magazine, and along with a brave publisher, Mattie Simmons, launched National Lampoon on an unsuspecting public. The film has great, albeit brisk, interviews with nearly everyone connected with the magazine's early life. Some folks are shown in archival clips, as sadly they are no longer with us, but we get an amazing insight into the creative and sometimes actually berserk energy at work during those days. The magazine attracted some of the greatest humorists of the time to write for it. Contributors like Chris Miller and Ed Subitsky and Sean Kelly and P.J. O'Rourke. And O'Rourke, for one, has gone forward to be recognized as one of the most respected Gonzo-esque journalists. And that chap has over 20 books to his credit at this point. And also, the man responsible for the National Lampoon Radio Hour, Michael O'Donohue, along with producer Bob Tischler, are also featured, giving us a look at that period of time, when you could actually do something scaldingly satirical on commercial radio. That's right, commercial radio. In rotation, even. Yeah. The world heard the voices of John Belushi and Chevy Chase, Bill and Brian Doyle Murray, Christopher Guest, Gilda Radner, and a bunch of other talented folks. For really the first time, I mean, way before SNL or anything remotely like it. There are also brief excerpts from the National Lampoon radio show, as well as a look at the albums, which also fueled the popularity of that radio show, such as Radio Dinner, Lemmings, That's Not Funny, It's Sick, you know. And this radio program, by the way, was syndicated to over 500 stations at its height, which is no small feat. Triola's documentary also highlights the often tragic, if not mysterious, life of Doug Kenny, the magazine's co-founder and whom many would argue was really the energy for the whole machine. His battles with addiction and depression are discussed by longtime friend Chevy Chase, who still to this day is rather sincerely affected by Doug's passing. I think you'll notice that. And frankly, I would just strongly recommend this documentary for any and all that are curious about a point of history, not only in publishing, but in radio as well, where barbed wire satire was king and got airplay as well. Now, as a sidebar to this, since we were just touching on Ripper and Copper there a moment ago, as a sidebar, the TV network A&E recently announced that they were going to do a series based on this documentary. Well, it appears that Chief Executive Officer Alan Dons said, and I'm quoting, "They have zero rights to make such a series, nor do they have the rights to use our name in any such press release. This will most likely result in some form of litigation if the project as described moves forward without our full participation. As of now, A&E has not had any conversation with us about this project." And Alan goes on to say, "Their proposed show can be about a lot of things, but it sure won't be about anything owned by, related to, or branded by National Lampoon. Our early days are our early days. We are very protective of the rights and intellectual properties owned by the company." So there you have it, huh? Still making waves, 47 years later.
Are you tired of endless video streams of silly animal tricks, awkward human calamities, and half-baked conspiracy theories?
Yeah. Now.
74.
Meh.
On this.
Pich.
Possibly.
Gosh, Uncle Carl. These podcasts are nothing but hot, steaming piles of shit. How does a guy find a decent podcast these days, anyway?
I know what you mean, Timmy. Here, try Fusebox.
Apply Fusebox to infected area only.
Wow! Thanks, Uncle Carl! Fusebox is the shit!
Yes! Relive great Fusebox audio moments of past shows, or current shows, or current shows made previous to past shows, running currently in the past. Feed your ears for hours of not really video, but feels like it, knee-slapping, sometime wholesome, but not really, audio goodness. Check out the Fusebox Show on YouTube today.
No, Milo, I was just making a joke about the bunker. Seriously, I don't really think that there's... Well, if you're really that concerned, I mean, I... All right. Well, just be careful and don't get into... Well, look, the jury is still out on that one, Milo, so we'll just have to see what the...
Sorry to break up the Camp Milo Accords there, but we're back.
Huh? Oh, sorry. Yes. Well, you know, Milo seems to be very concerned about the future with all the recent talk about, you know, building walls and so forth. And he says that he and Eco were wondering if they could build a bunker out back. And
smart little dude you got there. Hell, I'll help them.
Oh, careful. They might hear you.
Seriously, man, I'll pitch right in. I think I still have some EPKs around the place, too.
Emergency provision kits?
Yep. I mean, you never know, bro.
Are we suddenly going survivalist on this show?
Just saying. I think the JPSs have it right. Better to be prepared than surprised. Know what I'm saying?
Yikes. So, did I miss a memo or something?
Hey, our animal buddies seem to always know ahead of time when major shit's about to happen, right?
Yeah, true.
Earthquake, killer storm, stuff like that. I'm just saying, we should pay close attention to these little critters. They may be onto something.
Well, you know, you're certainly correct there. I mean, there's more than ample evidence to support the advanced warning alarm wildlife seem to have. You know, as we stand around, clueless, until it happens, and then you... Oh, hey, Milo, what's that? What?
Harrier.
Whoa, no. I don't even think we're zoned for that, man. I mean... Hey, Milo! Hey, wait a minute!
Sounds like he's got plans.
Yeah, he's wanting to know where they can park the Harrier jump jet when it arrives.
Yep, thinking ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we'll call it a show with that threat of more government surplus arriving here. And say a steaming soil pipe of thanks to Eric Newsom, Trista Perez, and Jeff Pollard for aromatic contributions to this edition of Fusebox. Grateful thanks indeed to the maestro of the mix, Milt Keynes, over there.
Great to be present and accounted for. Not frozen in some alley somewhere.
Indeed. A fate we wish on no one. Well, there might be a head of state or three, be that as it may. But even dead heads of state would benefit from the bounty of goodness to be found at the Fusebox store, friends. And if you haven't checked it out, we put together a plethora of pertinent and precious commodities, especially designed by the Fusebox sweatshop of designers in Obscuristan. Just for you. Easy to get to. Just go to thefuseboxshow.com and press the shopping tab, or use the handy
Shop Now
tab on the Fusebox Facebook page, and you will be gently and without 404 errors whisked away to the aforementioned storefront, where all manner of amazement awaits you. And by the way, you'll be helping to feed a starving show in the process, so it's a humanitarian act of kindness and charity as well. We also thank you kindly for being part of this aural procedure by pushing play on this edition of the program. We couldn't do it without you. Well, we could do it, but what the hell fun is that? You know, really, just standing around talking in the space. So, this is your sanitized and minty fresh host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
Fusebox.
Yeah.